another night. I'm gonna be changed, sail through the sky. Oh, one of these days, up out of those graves, the saints will come. They're gonna be raised. Well, in the presence of His might, there ain't no morning or no night. It's gonna be such a beautiful sight, dwelling in the Savior's light. No more sorrow, no more shame, no more tears and no more pain. I'm gonna praise His holy name. I'm gonna lift my voice and sing one of these days. Oh, one of these days, I'm gonna sail. I'm gonna sail away. Oh, one of these days, I'm gonna shout and sing praises to the King of Kings. Oh, one of these days, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm gonna be changed and sail through the sky. Cause in the presence of His might, there ain't no morning or no night. It's gonna be such a beautiful sight, dwelling in the Savior's light. No more sorrow, no more shame, no more tears and no more pain. I'm gonna praise His holy name. I'm gonna lift my voice and sing one of these days. Oh, one of these days.
Brother Jim.
You don't want me to start there.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls. Calls me away, oh yeah, where the morning is so bright and the lamb is so light, and the night is as bright as the sea, oh yeah. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There will be no sadness, no sorrow, no troubles I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle, and the wolves will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. And the beast from the wild shall be led by the child, and I'll be changed, changed from this creature that I am. Oh, yes. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray. There will be no sadness, no sorrow, no troubles, troubles I see. There will be peace in the valley for me.
Was that the devil sneaking in on me? All right. Thank you anyway.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Sister Penny, can you do Shepherd of My Valley?
Love the songs of praise and worship, don't you? This song, I really, really, well, I like them all, but He is the Shepherd of My Valley.
What would I do without Jesus, the Shepherd of my valley? Lord, I just couldn't walk this road alone. When I'm hungry, He feeds me. When I'm thirsty, He's my water. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When I need someone to talk to, He's always there to listen. With arms folded around me, He rocks me in His bosom. What would I do without Jesus, the Shepherd of my valley? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When my tears flow like a river and my burdens are high as a mountain, and when the ones I've counted on have let me down, that's when I go to Jesus. He's the one that I can count on. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? What would I do without Jesus, the Shepherd of my valley? Lord, I just couldn't walk this road alone. When I'm hungry, He feeds me. When I'm thirsty, He's my water. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? Someone to talk to, He's always there to listen. With arms folded around me, He rocks me in His bosom. What would I do without Jesus, the Shepherd of my valley? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do?
Couldn't make it without Jesus. How about you? Amen. I'm so glad that we don't have to make it without Jesus, because He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Got any saved folks in the house? Why don't you give the Lord praise tonight? My dad used to have so many sayings. One of his sayings was, he was all the time doing something or saying something that would make me and my little brother laugh. And when we'd get so tickled, he'd say, y'all going to get that all over you if you don't quit. This song says, He's all over me, and He's keeping me alive. Aren't you glad that He's keeping you alive tonight? It's just a simple song. We can all sing it. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. I said it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive.
Jesus is keeping me alive. We'll give Him praise tonight.
Glory.
How good God is, amen. He's precious. The Bible says He's great, greatly to be praised. I feel like we fall short sometimes on our part to greatly praise the Lord. But He is certainly so very good to us. If you the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. I do so thank you for being here tonight. It's just good to be in the house of God. Good to hear the songs of praise, amen. If you love singing, you're going to love heaven, amen. Worshiping and glorifying and praising God. There's a song that's sang around here sometimes, I got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday, amen. The older I get, the truer that seems to be, because so many of our folks, our loved ones, and our brothers and sisters have already gone home to their reward, and what a reward. They've already received, and what a reward it's going to be when we get there. What a great reunion it's going to be when we all get to heaven. I know we sing that song quite a bit, but I get excited thinking about when we all get to heaven. Not only this group here, but that group that's already over there, amen. And when we see Jesus, amen, that's going to be worth it all. Praise God. From the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, I want to begin with verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. And we'll read down to probably about verse number 7. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Rowdy, would you ask the Lord's blessing and His anointing tonight upon His messenger? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. Tonight I want to talk about, if I had a message title, it would be Alive in Christ Jesus. Alive in Christ Jesus. I love that word, alive. Let us look at what the apostle was writing here. I want to begin with a few of the characteristics that defines a spiritual death, or a death before the spirit comes into our body and revives us. How many has ever been witness to or been a part of what do they call it when they revive somebody? Resuscitation. How many have anybody got experience with that? When seemingly the breath is gone and you have to take a course and have to learn to do that, but to be able to massage the heart, to even breathe breath into those lungs, and there's a certain technique that you can do, amen, and they tell me if you do it correctly and do it in a manner, in a timely manner, you can actually bring somebody back from death when the body, the heart is quit and the lungs is quit, and that's a remarkable trait. But I begin to think about that in a spiritual realm, and how that the Bible refers so many times that before Christ came in our life that we were dead. dead, even walking and carrying on our day-to-day routine and the things that we do and the things that we enjoy. And you remember how it was before Christ came into our life. Let me just share this. It was all about me. I'm not going to testify for you. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but before Christ came in my life, it was a me life. It was all about me, what I could do and what I could receive and how I could enjoy my life and how I could appease the flesh. Do you remember those days? And the Bible tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins, breathing but yet dead. You know, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. And that gives us no excuse whatsoever to glorify and praise the Lord. But the Bible says that we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. And I believe what it meant that we were dead to the recognition that we were even living in sin. How many knows that we had to be told, it had to be brought and illuminated in our life that the life that we was living, amen, was a dead end street. It was a street, amen, that we would get down to the end of and not have any hope for the future. But yet we thought we were having fun. Yet we thought that we were doing what we wanted to do and appeasing the flesh. But I would dare say that in my life especially, and many people that I've talked to, even with all that the world had to offer and all that Satan tantalized us with and the life that we lived and trying to keep up with everybody and do all those things, and when it was a me life and trying to appease the flesh there, I can still testify to the fact that there was something that was just not right. There was something missing in my life. And I'm inclined to believe that you can surround your life with all the things, the material things that the world has to offer, do all the desires that the flesh would have to do. And I believe that there would never be a true satisfaction. I don't believe that the flesh can really ever be completely satisfied, because in my experience, it always wanted more, Brother Rowdy. It was never satisfied with this. If you attain this, then you wanted to do this, you wanted to get that, and it was almost exact. Well, it was just like the Bible explains to us, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And I thank God for His grace. I thank God for His mercy. I thank God for His patience and His loving kindness that allowed me, amen, to get to a point. I'm so thankful that I didn't die in my sins and in my trespasses. Amen. Because I believe that the Bible is very plain and very explicit and tells us what happens if we die in our sins and in our trespasses. But I'm so glad that because of His mercy, because of His grace, and even because of the foolishness of preaching, the Bible says, I heard the man of God talking about a change in your life, talking about how that you could come into before the veil, or through the veil, you could come openly and boldly to the throne of grace, and how that the Lord would wash away your sins and make you white as snow. And let me tell you, that piqued my interest, and I began to be convicted by the power of God. And I remember the night that I came to the Lord, and I laid down all those things, and I said, Lord, I don't want to die in this condition. I don't want the world no longer has that allure for me. The world no longer holds that excitement for me, because I've tried that. That doesn't work. It only gives you just a little bit of satisfaction, just maybe a temporary high, but Lord, I need more. How many knows and remembers when you were there? I need more, Lord. I need something in my life, God, to give me fulfillment. I need something in my life, Lord, to make me be able to lay down at night and close my eyes and sleep and not fearful of where I'm going to spend in eternity. And thank God, because of His love, because of His grace and His mercy, He filled me that night with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm so thankful, amen, that the Lord sought me and called me, and when I was even in that dead condition, and revived me and resuscitated me with the Spirit of God. Because it would have been so terrible to have died in trespasses and sin. A characteristic, the Bible says, walking according to the course of this world. I thought the course of this world, and how many knows the course? And many times, and you know, we've just recently had opportunity to use the navigational thing on the phones and all. And you know what happens if that thing hadn't been updated?
Amen. I think you do from the sound of the voices and the laughter tonight. That thing can have you going in circles and it'll have you taking a left and a right. And, you know, the other day we were going and it said, make a U-turn, make a U-turn. And I'm saying, you just don't see the traffic, do you? I just can't make a U-turn right in the middle of this four-lane highway, but you need to make a U-turn. But I began to think about that. Thank God that in my spiritual walk, I made a U-turn. Amen. It didn't seem convenient. It didn't seem like the right thing to do, but thank God the Lord wouldn't allow me to continue to walk in the way that I was walking. Amen. I'm so glad that the Spirit was striving with me. I'm so glad that the Lord called me more than once. A lot of people called to the altar when one time, not me. I'm ashamed to say the Lord had to keep calling and keep beckoning unto me. And many, many times I would go to the altar just to appease my flesh. A little confession time tonight. I would go to the altar just because I felt a little guilty. I went to the altar just because, you know, I was just afraid, fearful. But the thing about it, the night that I really got in touch with the Lord, I went to the altar with my mind made up. I'm not going to leave. Amen. I'm not going to leave. Everybody else in the church can leave, but Lord, I am not going to leave until there is a change that takes place in my life. God, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of being fearful. I'm tired, God, of trying to put on a mask and think that I'm saved or think that I'm righteous when I know within my heart that I'm not. And I came down to that altar with a, as the old fellow said, with a ready made up mind. My mind was made up that I was not going to leave. I was going to go out of that church in a different light, amen, than the way that I came in. And thank God, you know, I didn't have to tarry for hours. I didn't have to stay there for midnight, amen. When my mind was made up, the Lord was ready, amen. And I remember that night, and I can almost show you the exact spot where it was in that little church in Rockmart, Georgia, at Litchfield Street. I believe I could take you there today and get you within inches of where I bowed my head on that altar. And I mean, I got in touch with the Lord, and thank God I felt something that I'd never felt before. I had been to the altar before. I'd felt a little bit of the chills and a little bit better, and I went home feeling a little bit better. But can I tell you, that night I went home in a changed way. Amen. My life was not the same anymore. There were old things that passed away and all things had become new. Amen. I was tired of walking according to the course of this world. I wrote down, it's a never ending maze. Amen. You may think that you're getting out. You may think that you're coming to the right direction, but it'll always put you right back at the beginning. Amen. You won't gain anything according to the course of this world, because the course of this world has been laid out by Satan, our adversary. And can I tell you, he doesn't want you to walk in victory. He doesn't want you to have liberty. He doesn't want you to have peace. He doesn't want there to be harmony. He wants you to continually walking around and around and around, just like you're in a lost condition, never knowing which way to turn. But thank God, the Lord brought me out of the course of this world. Can I get a testimony tonight? Aren't you glad that he lifted us up out of that situation? As David said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, and he set my feet on a solid rock and established my goings. Thank God for that, because there was no life before Christ came into my life. I was just walking according to the course of this world. Basically, I thought of the program, what is it, Walking Dead or Walking Dead. That's what I was doing before Christ came into life. But it is a never-ending maze. Another characteristic is the conversation. The Bible says here, the apostle says, that your conversation was concerning the lusts of our flesh. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that we're never satisfied? Isn't it amazing that it not only affects our action, but it affects our conversation? And, you know, let me tell you something, folks. If you haven't realized it at this point, I want to tell you that conversations can be very detrimental. Very detrimental.
Amen. You know, if you want to be an ambassador for Christ, if you want to be one that leads others to the Lord, and if you want to be one that's a living testimony, we need to watch our conversation. We need to be very, very careful of what comes out of this mouth. Because can I tell you, whether we realize it or not, people are watching you. People are listening to you to see what you say. And you know, it's one thing to say that I am a Christian. You know, we can wear the WWJDs. We can hang the fish on the cars, and that's all well and that's good, but if we don't live it, amen, all of that advertising don't mean anything in the world, amen. We got to live it. We got to walk it, amen. When the Lord brought us out of the course of this world, He set us in a new direction, amen, and we need to walk. And not only do we need to walk in the righteousness of God, but we need to speak in the righteousness of God, and we need to talk right and live right. But the Bible says that the conversation when we were before we were alive in Christ, it concerned the lusts of our flesh. Can I tell you today that Satan has picked up on the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh, and he has made it so easy. Amen. He's made it so easy for us to reach out and begin to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Just as simple as turning on your phone. Just as simple as turning on your computer. Just as simple as plugging in a movie or whatever it is. And the things that are in this world today. And we need to be very, very careful of those things. Because all of those are qualities of someone who is not alive in Christ. That what tantalizes the flesh, amen. And you know, I was just recently made aware that a pastor or a preacher was talking about, you know, the way that you get above that, amen. You're going to always have those lusts of the flesh. You're going to always have those desires of the body, but rather than giving in to them, find you a place somewhere. Begin to get a hold of the horns of the altar and begin to pray and begin to seek God and say, Lord, you brought me out of that. You've delivered me from that. God, I can't go back to that. Give me victory, Lord. Give me that Lord, that I need tonight, and fill my flesh and my desires with your Holy Spirit. Because the conversation, if we're not careful, will be concerning the lusts of our flesh. Now, the conversation is one thing, but the Bible goes on a step further and says another characteristic is that we actually fulfill the desires of the flesh. Flesh is weak. Can I tell you that? Flesh is carnal. Flesh is of this world, and it's very weak, and it needs to have the Spirit of the Lord to lead it and to guide it, because if we don't, the flesh is going to reach out and it's going to somehow find a way to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to have it cross through your mind. It's even one thing to have your flesh even desire that. But how many knows there's a time you got to say no to the flesh? Amen. You got to overcome it with the righteousness of Christ. And it's not the easiest thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to do. I'm finding out that myself. It is a lot more difficult to reach into the refrigerator, and rather than opening that box of cookies and that Penny bought from the Girl Scouts, it's the peanut butter and chocolate. My mouth waters even when I begin to talk about it, because you know I don't know how to stop. They don't put very many things in those little boxes of cookies, but I can honestly sit down and go through a half a box, and if I'm real hungry and got a glass of milk, I probably could consume the whole box. But it's not easy to push that box of tagalongs out of the way and reach in for the grapes or reach in for the carrots. And I come and sat down the other day, and I had a paper plate, and it was full of raw cabbage and carrots, and Penny said, what in the world are you trying to do? I said, I am trying my best, amen, to feed the spirit and not the flesh, amen. If I would have succumbed to the flesh, it would have been donuts and cookies and everything else. But it's hard, and I'm saying that to say this. Sometimes it's very, very hard to turn the remote control off. It's very hard to lay down the magazine. It's very hard to lay down the other things that sometimes distract us. And I'm not saying any of those things are going to send you to hell. That's not my point. Amen. But they will come in and maybe keep you from doing something that you need to be doing spiritually. And it's a lot harder to say, flesh, you know what? Rather than watch that program. I'm going to turn it off and I'm going to get a hold of the altar and I'm going to begin to pray and meditate on the power of God because I want to strengthen my spirit that is within me. Amen. I want to not walk according to the course of this world. I want to walk according to what God's Word says. And when you say you're walking according to what God's Word says, it takes willpower and it takes commitment and dedication. So we need to be careful. We need to understand that fulfilling the desires of the flesh is a characteristic of those that are not alive in Christ. And he also mentions this. And I made a note in my Bible. I had preached a message similar to this or using this passage of Scripture. And it says, and were by nature the children of wrath. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm not a bad person. I do this and I do that. And you know, if you understand the salvation, the plan of salvation and the Word of God and the things that the Lord Himself put into place for us, it's not really about our goodness. Amen. You can be the best moral, best neighbor, best father, best mother in the world and still be lost. I know that sounds hard. I know that sounds terrible. But Christ has made salvation so simple and so easy. Amen. The thing about it is we were all by nature children of wrath. We were all by nature. And when we get to that point, amen, when we realize that if we don't have Jesus Christ in our life, all the goodness in the world, all the wonderful attributes that we could have in our life is not going to be sufficient to make it to heaven. But that's a wonderful thing because my Bible tells me that God is no respecter of person. Amen. Whether you're good or whether you're bad or whatever, you can still come to an altar of repentance. Glory to God. You can still give your life to Jesus. Amen. He died for each and every single one of us. Amen. And you can become alive in Christ, but you need to understand that it takes a repentant prayer. It takes a submission. It takes the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord. We have to put away those things and come to the knowledge of Christ because we were by nature children of wrath. And it says, even as others. And I wrote these three words down, like everyone else, like everyone else. Please, please don't use that excuse. Well, I'm as good as Sister So-and-so. Or I'm as good as brother so-and-so. It's not about that. It's about having a born-again experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My righteousness and my goodness, the Bible tells me, is as filthy rags. Amen. But that is within me, that is holy and righteous, not because of me, but all because of Him. Amen. It's so wonderful, and that's what made me alive. That's what gave me a brand new start. That's what gets me up in the morning. Amen. That's what lets me know that I have hope. Amen. Everything around me could fall flat, but I still have hope in Christ, and I know, praise God, that I'm going to be a winner. I've looked in the back of the book. We win, folks. We win. Amen. Through Christ, we are made alive. But God loved us. I don't know if I can adequately portray to you tonight how thankful I am because God loved me. I know He loves me now. I know my Bible tells me I feel Him. Amen. He's constantly with me, and I thank God for that. But you know what is so special? Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. Amen. Right up before that says, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were in sin, He loved us. Do you know how special that is? You know, the wonderful thing, when I came to that altar that night, God just didn't start loving me then. He had loved me from the very beginning. One place in the Scripture says, even in the womb, He knew us. He loved us. There's a song that says, when He was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen. But how great that is to know that even when I was, before I was made alive by Christ, before I came to a repentive state, even when I was trying to appease the flesh, God loved me. Now let me tell you, let me set it straight. If I'd have died in that condition, I don't believe I'd have made heaven. Even with God's love, I don't believe I'd have made heaven. But God loved me enough to point me to the plan of salvation, amen, and to point me to an altar of repentance and to assure me that I could be born again, amen. Now listen, he doesn't love me any more now than he loved me then. Praise God, but his love is sufficient. But let me tell you something, what has changed? I love him more today. I love him more today than I did then. I knew there was a God. I respected God. I respected the house of God, but I could have sat in the church pew and been just as lost as I ever could have been because I wasn't made alive in Christ. But thank God, it is such an honor. It is such a privilege. I'm so excited to know today that I can walk into the house of God, and I know that I no longer walk according to the course of this world. It's not because of me. I could never have made that change in my life. I could have had the best of intentions and never been able to do it, but Jesus Christ made me alive. I said, He resuscitated me. He breathed the breath of life into me. Glory to God. And I'm saved today because of His grace, because of His mercy. And I'm so thankful when I lay down at night, I don't have to worry anymore. And can I tell you, can I make you understand? The only thing that has changed is Christ came into my life. Amen. That's what made the great change. And that's what made the transformation from walking to the course of this world. But God loved us even when we're dead in sin. And he quickened us. That simply means he made us alive. Even though we were breathing, even though we were carrying on our daily routine, we were not alive. We were not spiritually alive. And thank God for the testimonies of those who have let us know that certainly it was a change in their life. My granddad, for so many years, tried everything that he could think of. He went to New York. He went on these trips. He went everywhere. He thought he had a heart condition, and really he did. It was not a physical heart condition. He was lost. And that heart condition was the Lord and the Holy Spirit tugging at his heart. Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many knows the white knuckle fever when you sit on the pew in church and you want the preacher to hurry up and quit preaching and you want the song, the altar call to hurry up and get over so you can maybe somehow feel a little bit more appeased and you let go of that altar rail. And I've sat there just like you have before, and my granddad had that same feeling. He thought he was about to die. He thought he had a heart condition. And he tried everything in the world, and then he tried Jesus. Amen. My grandmother was praying. She was already saved, born again, and she was praying for him. And you know, sometimes, you know, when we're walking according to the course of this world, we don't want our spouse praying for us. You're making me miserable. That's what he said. You need to quit praying for me. You're making me miserable. But thank God, she was that much more steadfast to pray that much harder, and she began to pray even that much harder. Lifted him up in church, and they began to pray, and he got to where he'd go to church, and they was having a little cottage prayer meeting, and the Lord got a hold of him. Amen. We all got our testimonies, don't we? We all got our testimonies. Do you remember when the Lord got a hold of you? When he really got a hold of you? Amen. You wasn't concerned about church breaking up. You wasn't concerned about going home. You was concerned about the Holy Spirit that was dealing with your heart. Well, in this little cottage prayer meeting, the Lord got a hold of my granddaddy. My granddaddy always said, you know, I had to kind of fight with that thing. I said, I never would admit it, but I was a little prideful. He said, I had to have my hair just right, and I had to have my clothes just right. And I told the Lord, said, Lord, I'll go down to that altar and I'll get saved. But whatever you do, don't let me make a fool of myself, Lord. Just let me go down and bow my knees and cut my hands together. And you just fill me with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, don't let me shout. Don't let me do nothing like that. And he said when he got down to the altar, he forgot about his promise. Amen. Amen. He got lost in the Spirit of God. Oh, have you been there? Glory to God. He said he lost all contact of what was going on. He began to pray. He said when he woke up, somebody told him he had shouted over a chair, up under the chair, and had a guitar case laying on top of him. Amen. Somehow all that pride was gone. God just stripped him from it. Amen. But you know what happened to him? God resuscitated him him right there in that little cottage prayer meeting. He gave him a brand new start. He breathed the breath of life into him. He became saved that night, went on to start three churches, and God had a great work for him. But I'm saying all of that to say this. My granddaddy thought he was dying when he was really walking in dead. Amen. He was a dead man walking until that night Jesus Christ came into his life. And I was the same way. And we all are. But we're made anew. We have a brand new life. Amen. When Jesus comes into our life. Alive in Christ Jesus. Oh, that the world could understand. The very thing that they need is the very thing that they're against. The very thing that would give them freedom and liberty is the one thing that they shun. They don't want that. They don't want to continue because they're more concerned about their flesh than they are about their spirit. Amen. And that's a detrimental way of life. We need to be more concerned about our spirit. But not only he quickened us, made us alive, but he showed us exceeding riches of his grace and kindness. There's not a day that goes by, and I mean this with all of my heart, that I don't experience the grace and kindness of my Father. Hallelujah. Just the ability to get up in the morning, put my feet on the floor. Brother Keith, I think about your testimony so many times. The Lord let my feet hit the floor. You know, that's a great thing. That's God showing us his grace and his kindness. And there's not a day goes by that the Lord doesn't extend to me his grace and his kindness. He knows the things that I go through. He knows the things that trouble me. But can I tell you, I've got a confidence in God. Amen. I can go to him anytime about anything. And I always feel better after talking to the Lord. I lost my dad, and for some reason this morning I was really, really thinking about my dad and thinking about all the things that he had said and how he raised my brother and myself. Several years ago for Father's Day, I just poured my heart out on a piece of paper, and I missed Dad so much that I miss him all the time, but I missed him on that Father's Day, and I just began to pour my heart out, and almost I wrote on there just as I was having a conversation with him, Brother Jim, just like maybe you and I were sit here and talking, and I just wrote, and I just wrote, and I just wrote, and it was like I could just pour my heart out to my dad, because I'd always been able to do that. And after I finished with, and after I had wrote everything that I thought was in my heart, I wrote, and even though Dad had been gone 7 or 8 years from that time, I told him on that piece of paper, I said, Dad, I always feel better after talking to you. And I didn't really meant that. And I said that to say this, there is not a time that I haven't bowed my head or lifted my hands to the Lord that I have not felt better after talking to my Heavenly Father. Amen. I can talk to him, Brother Ratty, about anything. When you're driving that truck down the road and you're not feeling good and situations are coming in rush, 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 isn't it good to know that we can just talk to our Heavenly Father? That's because he's made us alive. I'm alive tonight in Christ. Amen. I'm so thankful that he raised me from the dead. Amen. I was a dead man walking because I was walking according to the course of this world, but he turned me around. Amen. Every time I hear that thing on that voice, make a U-turn, make a U-turn. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost was convicting me. You need to make a U-turn. Amen. You need to walk toward the Lord instead of walking away from the Lord. And he certainly made me alive. He showed exceeding riches of his grace and kindness. And then, you know, the fringe benefits. You know, if we just never thanked him for anything else except for salvation, we couldn't thank him enough. But he also gives us these fringe benefits. He said that he has raised us up together to sit together in heavenly places. Amen. Not in heaven, but in heavenly places. And I begin to think some of the grace and the goodness things that we have to be able to be down here and to share with one another, and just the opportunity to pray one for another and to come into the sanctuary and worship and praise the Lord. You know, all that's just a fringe benefit of being alive in Christ. Amen. To know, amen, that the Lord is here with us. But that's just a little bit, just a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. Amen. But you must be born again. You must be born again. I know God is gracious, and I know His mercy is beyond our ability to comprehend, but He also has a plan of salvation that we must adhere to, and we must be born again. We must come to an altar of repent, be broken in contrite spirit, amen, and ask Jesus Christ to save us and to forgive us of our sins and to make us alive. It's so good to be alive. I love the natural ability to say that I'm alive, but I really love the benefit of saying I'm spiritually alive in Christ tonight. Can you praise the Lord tonight? Can you just love Him? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate each and every one of you. I know a lot's been said about the transformation of the church, and I can't begin to tell you how pleasantly surprised and thankful I was when I walked in and I saw the finished product. And thank you to all the people that helped and to everything that you did. It's just been wonderful. We still got some things that we're going to do, and thank God for the energy and the desire to even do things downstairs. Just even the men's bathroom. I know the ladies were first. I know their restroom got upgraded and looked a lot better, but us men, you know, if it ain't broke, don't break it, you know. But it kind of sufficed for years and years and years, but the lady stepped in and they got it started. Now the men's bathroom is, I think, up to par with the women's bathroom, and I'm just so thankful. But as I walked in, even the baptismal pool just lit up, and it looks so good, and I'm so thankful. And I give God the honor and I give God the glory. Amen. Praise God for His love. Would you stand tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed? Are you alive in Christ? Are you really alive? Are you just walking through and just going through the motions of being alive? If not, amen, salvation is for you. It'll change your life. It'll change your thought process. It'll change your conversation. With every head bowed, every eye closed, is there one tonight that would make your way down to this altar? You need Jesus. Do you need a closer walk? Amen. Do you need to revive that spirit that is within you? This altar is for you. If not, is there a hand that you would raise? As we pray this week, if you'll just raise your hand if you need prayer, this pastor will be praying with you and praying for you. God bless those hands. We see them and God sees them, and we're going to pray for that. Amen. And we're going to pray that God will intercede. If you have another need tonight, if you have any need whatsoever, gather around and we'll pray for you. Amen. Because I believe God.